All right, we are live here with a Schloss rant live from the Philadelphia suburbs. It's Sunday night. Got the Cowboy 49er game still going on, but the reason that we're here, reason that we're doing this recording, is to talk about the unfortunate nature of the New York Football Giants losing last night 38-7. And this season, it could be viewed as a success. You know, they established a personality in the head coach. They established that this team will no longer be the laughingstock of the NFL as long as this head coach is there. And they also showed Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence that Dave Gettleman's picks were not necessarily the worst, despite the fact that he is just an absolutely horrible GM. And Shane and Daboll were left to pick up the pieces from that absolutely tumultuous and horrendous era of Giant football. So I'm bittersweet. I'm happy because the Giants were able to make this season fun. It had been a while since watching this football team had brought me any type of joy. It had normally brought me feelings of patheticness, ineptitude, dysfunction, and a disgraceful organization. This year wasn't that. They got a playoff win. They took the next step forward. It looks like they got themselves a quarterback, and we'll touch on that more in a little bit. And they made it so that Giant fans like myself are rushing to go to these games because it had been a while since stepping into MetLife Stadium or going anywhere for that matter to see the Giants was a priority for me. But guys like me, people like me, girls like me, whatever, got back into the team this year and were flooding into MetLife Stadium to see this team play. I went to two of the last three home games, seeing the Commander tie and then the Colt game in which they clinched the playoff spot. So I got to give it up to the Giants for making this season much more enjoyable. And seeing guys like Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas really blossom right in front of everyone's eyes and see Daniel Jones finally establish his footing as, you know, a serviceable NFL starter, because I don't think people were really sold after the last 2 years. He had a pretty decent rookie year, 2019. I always refer back to this, threw for 24 touchdowns. He had multiple games in which he accounted for five touchdowns, but never really had a chance to put it all together. Coaches in and out, head coaches, that is, you know, Shermer and Joe Judge, different coordinators, Jason Garrett, and Shula before that. So the Giants, you know, they were able to show you some semblance of being a respectable football team. But here's where I stopped throwing the flowers. I understand the Eagles are a much better team than you. That was clear right from the get-go. I understand you didn't have the personnel to play with them. I get all that. But one thing that Daboll did last night, and everyone has been on this guy about how good of a coach he's been, how he's changed the culture, how he's developed players. But one thing he did last night, when it's 4th and 8, you cannot go for it at that spot of the field. Punting is not a bad play early in the game. It means you're in the driver's seat, but it means you're in a position in which not every possession is a must score. And again, I know the Eagles were so much better. This is not, it would not have made a big difference on the impact of the game. But you've got to at least make your team feel competitive. Make them feel that they have a chance to win the game. And I understand that punting, it kind of goes to the contrary because you're like, oh, you're just giving the ball back. But, dude, it's 4th and 8. Settle into the game. See if you can give your team a chance to figure out how to block that nasty Eagles defensive front led by Hassan Reddick, who had sacks on back-to-back plays. Because maybe they settle into the game. But then you made it so that you're down 7-0 after that big 40-yard pass play by Hurts, you made it so that every possession needed to be must-score. And you know your team, Daboll, you know your team is not built for that. It's not set up for that, where they need to score on each and every single possession and be perfect. You put your team right behind the eight ball last night, and you took them right out of the game. right out of the game. And again, I know the Eagles are better. I know they're significantly better. Everyone who I was talking to during the week, I was mentioning how much better the Eagles were. And it's not a surprise that they blew them out when you start the game like that. But punting the ball in that spot down 7-0 on 4th-and-8 is not a bad play, because you live to fight another down. Maybe you make a stop, get the ball back, get the ball in decent field position because your punter executes right and your coverage team executes right and you down it inside the 5. Maybe you get the ball back and then you score. But you took your team absolutely right out of the ball game. And fans like me, Giant fans who've been with this team for years, we bought into the hype. We heard all about 07 and 2011 being, you know, talked to us, shoved right down to us on NFL Network, on ESPN, on WFAN, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, and we bought right into it, hook, line, and sinker. And I think I'm mad because somehow I allowed myself to start comparing this team to that. This team doesn't have any talent. The talent isn't there. I mean, Isaiah Hodgins was a stud the last game. But you give the Eagles time to prepare for a guy like that, and they shut him down. He didn't have any type of impact on the game. This team doesn't have, I mean, like, yeah, Dexter Lawrence is a great interior lineman. Leonard Williams is also a really good interior lineman. This team doesn't have a Justin Tuck. This team doesn't have a Jason Pierre-Paul in peak season in 2011, 16.5 sacks. But I let myself buy into the hype that guys like Peter Schrager on NFL Network, and shout out to him because he retweeted something I said earlier in the week. I bought into it, bought into the narrative that Daniel Jones was up against the ropes, much like Manning was in 07, that this team won 9 games. I mean, the comparisons go on and on and on. You know, if you try to make the comparisons, they were a 6th seed this time. I mean, I guess they were the second wild card this time, so not quite the same as 2007. But there's all sorts of comparisons. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is that this team was nowhere near as talented. And if you think about the Giants historically, what they are good at, what they are excellent at, is rushing the passer. And when they're better than everyone else at rushing the passer, they win the Super Bowl. And they were not better than everyone else this year at rushing the passer. And I like the development of Thibodeau. I know his sack numbers aren't exactly eye-jarring, but I think there's a lot of plays in which he's held tremendously, strangled around his neck when he's trying to get to the quarterback. And I think that he's a guy who might be able to get 9 or 10 sacks next year if he stays healthy. You know, you got to remember that he missed the beginning of the season too. Thought he was an impact player because I thought when he had sacks, you think about that Baltimore Raven game, strip sack to end the game. You think about the Washington Commander game, which was, you know, the most important game for this team to make the playoffs, the Commander game in D.C. He gets the triple play, the strip sack, the fumble recovery, and the touchdown. You think about even the overtime of the Commander game at home. He had a big, impactful sack, almost put him in a safety, which would have won that game for the Giants. So I thought he's an impactful player. But you know what? This team, it's just not as talented. And I bought in. Tons of other Giant fans I know bought in also. They fell into this road of here we go again. And it wasn't meant to be. I mean, the Eagles showed you last night that you can take the narratives, you can go throw it in the subway, you can go throw it under the bus. They don't matter when the team that you're playing is that much better than you. And the Eagles, you know, they just have players on players on players. They had the 3 running backs that had good, you know, relatively good games last night. The one guy, number 14, Gainwell, whatever his name is, he went for over 100. Boston Scott, the freaking New York Giant killer, he scored a touchdown. Jalen Hurts ran the ball well. I mean, they had guys, you know, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, who they wanted, making plays all night. Dallas Goedert, he's better than any tight end the Giants have. Come on. I mean, they're so much better. The Giants don't have a Hassan Reddick. They don't have a Brandon Graham. I mean, they have the best player, or, you know, if you look, go by the Pro Football Focus type stuff, they might have two players really that are better than anyone the Eagles have. If you want to talk about Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas, it's close. But the Giants made it so that Daniel Jones needed to win that game, and he's just not going to win the game. He's not capable of winning the game when it's every possession is a must score, and that's what's frustrating. And it's frustrating to lose to the stupid freaking Philadelphia Eagles. I hate this team. I got respect for them. They're a really, really good team. They always typically are a really, really good team. It's very rare that they have a down season. 2020, they were down. But they're a good team. They're a good team, really good team. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. I think the winner of the AFC Championship is winning the Super Bowl. They're a good team, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating that the Giants have not won a game in there since 2013. It's frustrating that they're the team that knocks me out when I live 9 miles from the stadium. And I got to go into work, and I got to hear it. They're going to be like, Giants suck. How did you even think they had a chance? And I'm going to tell them straight up. I told people they're going to lose by 25 points. I said the Giants are going to lose 48-23. They ended up losing by 31. I didn't want to believe it. I wanted to believe in the narratives. Wanted to believe that this team was going to go on another magical run. But the magical runs don't mean nothing if you can't block the guys in front of you. And the Giants showed you that last night. This was the one team that I did not want to lose to in the playoffs. I would have been okay if they lost next round, because at least I would have known that the Eagles weren't going to win the Super Bowl. And if somehow the Eagles win the next two games and win the Super Bowl, it's going to be a disaster. My life will be an absolute disaster. Even if they make the Super Bowl, because you get the 2 weeks off and I got to hear from all of them. It's going to be a disaster. So I'm rooting for the 49ers. I'd even root for the Cowboys next week over them. Cowboys, I don't know any Cowboy fans. They're all the way across the country. I know they're in the same division, but I'd rather see the Cowboys win. Couple more notes before we get into, you know, the biggest overarching question, and that is, of course, what to do with Daniel Jones. Nick Sirianni, here's a guy that if he was my team's head coach, I'd absolutely love him. The team takes his energy and they build off of it and they play to it. He is a guy that feeds right off of the Philly fan. It's almost like they picked the guy right out of the stands and put him on the sidelines. I don't even know what his expertise is. I think he was the Colts offensive coordinator before he got the job. But here's that he's just a guy that the team, the Eagle team, they feed right off of him. So you can knock him. You can say, you know, he's not your cup of tea, but he's one heck of a coach. And again, if he was my coach, I'd love him. But he's the Eagle coach, so not so much. But I got to respect what he does, and I got to respect how he's got his team in a position to go to the Super Bowl. He's not like Doug Peterson, a little more, you know, laid back, buttoned up. He's definitely not like Tom Coughlin. He's not like Bill Parcells. I mean, maybe he's a little more like Parcells than Coughlin, but you have to respect what he's done with his team. You have to respect with how well his guys have played, even though they seemingly took, you know, 40 days off basically in between games. And their last meaningful game they really played was against the Giants at MetLife Stadium, because the game that they played against the Giants at home, Giants had most of their starters resting. So I got to give him respect because he had his team ready to play. The team feeds off of him. The fans feed off of him. And it's impressive, as much as I, you know, can't stand the guy because he's not coaching my team. He's on the other sideline. So it's painful to lose to the Eagles. This is not the way that you want to go out. You don't want to go out in a blowout. You don't want to make it so that your team was never even really in the game. But another team that I got to throw under the bus here too, I mean, is the Minnesota Vikings. They must be the absolute worst 13-win team of all time. And I think most people knew that, but that was really apparent last night. I mean, the Giants beat them last week in Minnesota. You're like, all right, they beat the 13-win team. They couldn't even sniff the Eagles last night. The Eagles are so much better, even though there was only a one-win differential in the regular season. And I know the Eagles blew out the Vikings too. So, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings really just, like, were pathetic. So the fact that the Giants moved the ball on them like that, and then they step against the Eagles and they can't complete a pass, or they're only checking the ball down and they're running the ball when they should be throwing it because they really can't even block that Philadelphia Eagle pass rush. Minnesota is just an absolutely pathetic team. I know they won 13 games. 13 games is good, really good, obviously. But they were the most fraudulent. And I know the Giants were, you know, somewhat of a fraudulent team too. All right, here's the big topic, the big question. This is really what matters more than anything. Daniel Jones, what in the world do you do with him? I'm not going to personally overreact to this game. We know how good the Eagles are. You're only going to play the Eagles two, maybe three times in the season if you find yourself in a postseason matchup with them. They, you know, they, like I've said all podcast long here, they have tremendous pass rushing. So I'm not going to judge a guy on his worst night of the season or one of his worst nights of the season. But the Giants have a decision to make. You can franchise tag him. It's going to cost you, I think, about somewhere the nature of $32-33 million, of course, all guaranteed. You can give him the transition tag, which I didn't really know too much about, but I know it's basically like back in the day in the NBA, people used to sign these offer sheets. And I remember the Brooklyn Nets would like sign everyone to an offer sheet, and then the other team had to match, and they'd always go back. I think it was a guy on Portland that I'm thinking of where the Nets did this as one example, who played a Cal. His name's escaping me. It doesn't matter, but it's something like that where the Giants would have the ability to match the contract that was offered. That's an option for him too. But I would go with the franchise tag. I think that at $32-33 million, you know, it's not a cheap price for a quarterback, but it's not in the Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson type of territory where the number against the cap is going to be absolutely deadly. And I do it because you sign him to that. You say to him, come back, prove yourself one more time. You're going to have some consistency. Daboll is still going to be in the mix. I would think Kafka still is going to be in the mix because their offense was good, but it wasn't that impressive to the point where maybe I'm thinking I need to go sign him away to be my head coach if I'm Carolina, if I'm Houston. So I think I go and bring Jones back with that franchise tag. I think he signs it. If that's the option. I mean, he was very non-committal last night. And I can't blame him because he got his butt kicked all game long because they couldn't block the Eagle pass rushers, couldn't, you know, block the Eagle defenders in totality. So I think he was probably upset. He's been a guy who, personality-wise, during his time with the Giants, never complained, never bickered, never faltered. He's truly an A++++ type of personality. Says all the right things. You know, seemingly puts in the work. So I can't blame him for being so non-committal because at the end of the day, it's not 100% up to him. And the Giants, really, if you think about it, they didn't do him right. Different coaches, different coordinators, not picking up that fifth-year option, which at the time, I mean, he needed to show more to get it. So to get that picked up, I understand his frustrations. But he's probably thinking, there's teams that need a quarterback. I mean, Carolina needs one. Houston obviously needs one. I think even New Orleans probably should go in a different direction from Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston. Maybe they say, we'll bring him in. So he knows that the marketplace is to his advantage because of the fact that teams need quarterbacks. But I would offer him that franchise tag. If he doesn't want to sign it, I call his bluff. I don't think he's going to sit out a year. I think that would be the single worst thing that he could do. So I call his bluff. I say, come back, prove it. I mean, if you can offer him a cap-friendly deal where you're getting him for $30 million a year, and I know these contracts are not worth the paper they're written on in the NFL, and I know there's a lot of technicalities, but if you can get him slightly below market where you're giving him, you know, a 3 or 4 year deal, I think I'd try to go after that. But I would start with the franchise tag, and then that at least gives you some power where you can give him something on more of the long term. But I'd bring him back because if you don't bring him back, you're searching for a quarterback, and that's never a good position to be in. And I think he's good enough that with some continued coaching, with some continued development, he can be able to win a couple of playoff games, and maybe things break right 1 year and he gets to a Super Bowl. And I think especially with his athleticism, I think that that helps him put him over the top. If he wasn't the runner, I'd say let him go, screw it. But I think the element that he adds with the running, I think this is a guy that I need to bring back to be the quarterback of the Giants. Because if you don't bring him back, I think you're in no man's land. You bring him back, you say, this is our guy. We're going to continue to develop him. We're going to try to make the most of him. We're going to try to get him some receivers. We like our head coach. And you saw with Buffalo, I mean, Allen has taken a step back without Daboll as his offensive coordinator and play caller. So you bring him back, and I think that that's ultimately the right thing to do. Get it done. Get it on the franchise tag if you need to. Make him prove it again. He played pretty well this year when you made him prove it. You know, he only threw for 15 touchdowns. That's very low for, you know, quality starting quarterback. But I think, again, what he adds with the running game, I think the fact that he really didn't have a lot of weapons, I think the fact that at the beginning of the year, Daboll was just saying, we got to run a stripped-down version of the offense so he doesn't have to be the focal point with his drop-back passing. I think with a little more coaching, a little more improvements to his game, I think on a franchise tag especially, I think he'll prove it, and I think that's the smart and prudent move. And it's unfortunate they didn't pick up the fifth-year option, but you can't kill the team for not doing that at that point because I'm not sure he really showed that he was worthy of that. All right, Schloss Rant live from the Philly suburbs. Disappointing ending to this Giants season when you get blown out like this. A lot of changes possibly to come in the offseason, but I think, again, you got to bring back Jones. And let's hope that if the 49ers go on to the NFC Championship game, that they beat the Eagles, because I really want absolutely nothing to do with the Eagles making the Super Bowl, let alone winning. And the Niners are up 16-9 right now in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter. So let's hope that that happens. Let's hope that the Niners win and then take them out. I think everyone outside of, you know, the people in Philly here that are Eagles fans, I think everyone would be happy about that. All right, Schloss Rant. We'll see you later. We'll jump in, maybe do an NFC, AFC title game preview before the next week. Have a good one.